Grace to you and peace from God, who is King over all the earth and over our country as well, and from Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who saved us. Amen. Well, today is November 8th, 2015, 1 year exactly to the day of the next election of the President of the United States, November 8th, 2016. And so 1 year exactly, I thought it'd be appropriate for us today to talk about America. And you've already seen all these debates, right? All these talks and political stances and positions and comments and all kinds of stuff going on daily. And everybody seems to be talking about America's troubles, rightly so, and how to fix it, how to set things right, how to make things that are wrong turn into what is good and right again. And so today what I'd like to talk with you about, what is the right answer? What does America really need? What direction does our country need to go? What does God have to say about that? And also, where should we as Christians, where do we fit into this, and where should we place our hope with respect to our country? What does God have to say to us about these things, since, frankly, it's everywhere in the news? Let's talk about it and get a godly perspective here from the church. What can we say? Well, first off, when we look at America, I think pretty much both sides, everybody agrees or acknowledges that America seems to be in trouble, right? Seems to be getting darker rather than brighter. That's the general consensus. You could look, for example, at the economy, $18 trillion national debt, and the Congress recently voted to up the debt ceiling again and spend even more money. How are we going to pay that? Also, the military, a lot of people say they're questioning, like Lindsey Graham said, we're the smallest troops since 1940, and have the smallest Navy that we've had since 1915, and the question is it going to be up for the challenges that are facing it in the future? You have the problem of the respect, right? America, are we respected amongst the nations? Are we, distrusted by our allies? Are we scorned by our enemies? And then there's the whole talk about the border, right? You've heard about that day and night. That the border is open, one guy says, I'm going to build a wall, right? And we're going to Canada. We had to get passports to go to Canada, right? That's coming up on a trip we're taking. But southern border seems to be a little more open. 500,000 come into the country illegally every year, and I found this sign here. When you enter America, it says, warning, if you are entering the United States without presenting yourself to an immigration officer, you may be arrested and prosecuted. Then again, it says, you don't say this, but then again, maybe you may not, right? If you can make it to a sanctuary city, you might even be elected mayor or something like that, like they just had people elected. So there's that. And then there's the decline in morals, right? Doesn't that grieve your heart? Yes. Grieves my heart. I remember my grandmom out there in Kansas. We were going in to buy a movie over for the night from supermarket out there in Kansas. She said, when we were younger, we didn't have any locks on the cars. We didn't have any locks on our houses. There was no crime. Now I have to lock my car just to go in to buy a movie. I remember her telling me that. And that seems to be the way. The Bible was out of the schools in 1962. The next year, 1963, prayer was out. Ten Commandments were out. And my grandmom used to say when they took the Ten Commandments out of the classroom, that's when the real discipline trouble started happening, at least in Kansas. This week, we had Joe Kennedy, a high school football coach, who was dismissed from his duties because he bowed his knee to Jesus and prayed, even just individually, not asking anybody else to pray with him. He bowed his knee to Jesus at the end of the football game, and he was dismissed from his duties. If abortion since 1973, 58 million. Divorce is up. Marriage is down, except gay marriage. That's up. And in fact, comic books, right? Green Lantern recently came out as gay, and Catwoman is now bisexual. That's come out. All right? Then you have an increase in violence also in the school. So things are looking kind of darker, it seems, rather than brighter. Not that there was a golden ideal past for America. There were troubles. We just forget them back then as well. But we got a lot of difficulties today, and people are talking about that. So let's get an understanding about what the right answer to that is. what's the way to fix what's wrong in America? Well, a lot of people have a lot of answers, don't they? You're probably coming out your ears. You're probably tired of hearing about that, right? Some people say, we need a bigger government and more taxes to pay off our debt. Others say, we need a lesser, smaller government and less taxes, because that'll increase the economy to pay off our debt. Others say the military needs to get bigger and better and more advanced. Others say, no, it's good as it is. Respect, some say you got to stand your ground no matter what other people think. Let the chips fall where they may. Others say you got to just appease and be nice to everybody. And then eventually even our wicked enemies will be nice to us. They'll like us. The border, some say build a wall. Others say, no, 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 keep it open. We're just going to let them come in and make them all American citizens and have them vote. And then in morals, some say take away the guns. Others say, no, give people more guns. In fact, I had someone on my boat not long ago. It's from like North Carolina or South Carolina. The only city, I think, in America where they require everybody to have a gun. And I said, well, how's your crime there? He said, we have none. Well, that's their opinion. It works, I guess, there. Return to traditional values, say some. Others say, no, we haven't gone far enough. End abortions, say some. Others say, no, we have to promote even more. And so we got all this kind of stuff. But here, what you're going to hear right now is the right answer. Okay? You got all these opinions. I'm sure you got an opinion too, as would I. But here's the right answer. Let's let God speak to us. And what does God say to America about how to fix its troubles, how to right its wrongs, how to have things go right and good again, or for the first time? He says, what you need, what America really needs, oh, Americans, hear me say this, America, you need me. Amen? That's what America really needs. You know, you can talk about all these other things, but if you don't have God, you got nothing. It's not going to work. God says what America really needs, and anybody on the radio hear this, if anybody's hearing this on the radio, America needs me, says God. You need to humble yourselves and believe in me. And that's actually, if you look in Daniel, who's really in charge of America and the prosperity of America and the world? Daniel says in Daniel 2, blessed be the name of God forever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and he sets up kings, right? He's the one who's in charge of those things. Paul says, sets the boundaries and the times, the allotted periods for countries. In Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar is exalting himself and thinking he made himself great. God puts him in his place and tells him that he's going to be driven from among men until he learns that heaven rules and God gives nations and kingdoms to whom he will. Do you believe that? God, it says in Psalm 46, God says, be still and know that I am God. I'm exalted among the nations. I'm exalted in the earth. From whose hand do you get prosperity? And let's take some of the issues that people talk about, right? Military. We need a great military. I agree. Okay, we need a great military. But look at this word that God has about the military, even our military, in Psalm 127. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Do you believe that? You know, we could have the best wall in the world, but if God's not watching over that wall, it's nothing. It's an anthill. Okay? We could have no wall, but if God's watching over it, it's a wall. Right? And our military stands because God makes it stand if he's going to prosper it. That's why we need to seek him. And has God done this in America in the past? I like to think, you know, I don't have a divine revelation on this, but it sure seems like he saved us in the War of 1812. In that day, in 1814, General Robert Ross of the British, they were on American soil. They marched on Washington, D.C. They went through our troops the day before like a knife through warm butter. They entered into Washington, D.C. and set the White House on fire, the U.S. House of Representatives, the Senate on fire, the U.S. Treasury, the U.S. Library on fire. It was up in smoke, rolling black clouds, and it would have been done. And we would have been a British colony again, except that there just happened to be a hurricane, a freak hurricane that came on that very, within 24 hours, and put out all the fires. of Washington and brought more destruction on the British troops and their morale in that one hurricane, that one day, than we'd been able to do as an army the day before. And God, I believe at that point, it seems, saved our country. And God was acting on behalf of us. Unless the Lord watches over the city, those who watch over it labor in vain. So a military, great. We need that. Praise God for them. But what we need is God watching over our military. And America needs to turn to God. How about economics? You got a lot of tax plans out there. You got people saying this. You got people saying that. What's God say? He says in Haggai, if I can turn there, he says this to his people, Israel. Therefore, thus says the Lord, consider how you fared. You've sown much and you've harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages earns them only to put them into a bag with holes. Why? God says. He says, when you looked for much, lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. And why? He says, because, you know, you've been looking after yourself and not after my house. And so, economics, what do we need as Americans? We need God to bless it. You can have the best economic plan, free market, or socialism even. If God blesses it, it's going to be blessed. If God doesn't bless it, it ain't going to be blessed no matter how great it is. So America needs to seek God for its economic help as well. How about morals? You know, we see things going worse and darker all the time. God tells us, if you seek me, I'll help you. Look what happened here. This is a word not just for Israel, but for all nations. God says, although they knew God and they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies amongst themselves. Then he says in verse 26, he gave them up to homosexuality because of their sins. And that increased in the land. And then he said, and since God, they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God that gave them up to a base mind and improper conduct, and they were filled with all manner of wickedness and other types of things. What does America really need, friends? God. If they turn aside from God, though they know God and they turn aside, it just increases wickedness in the land. But if a people will humble themselves, like it says over here in the sign, and pray and seek the Lord, he will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and he says, I will heal their land. Do you believe that? As Americans, is that what America needs? To seek God, to return on our knees, to humble ourselves. Do you know, I think some of the problem of America is maybe our prosperity. Maybe we've had it too good for so long that we're so proud and so fat on the prosperity, we've forgotten our need for God. 9/11, you had people return to churches for at least a month until they forgot. Maybe we need a few hard times. But what America needs is to get on their knees, humble themselves before the Lord and seek him. And that's what our founding fathers even thought. Even Ben Franklin, who was not a Christian by my estimation, said, Sir, I've lived a long time. The longer I live, the more I see convincing me this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We've been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, those that build it labor in vain. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We'll be divided. Our projects will be confounded. We shall become a reproach and a byword down to future generations. And therefore, he implored them to pray. That's Ben Franklin. He wasn't even a Christian, I don't think. And yet he said that. And John Adams said, our Constitution was not fit, was not designed for anything but a religious people governed by the Ten Commandments. And so, on your knees, friends, are you going to get on your knees for America? Will America get on their knees? That's the question. Christians will, but will America? Would God forgive us? Would God help us? Would God actually prosper us? Well, we see he's done that in the past, right? Look at Nineveh. That was a wicked city, a terrible city. We indeed have our sins as Americans, indeed, abortion being one of them. But look what it says here in Jonah. God says, go to Nineveh. to that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And then Jonah eventually went, and it says here, Jonah went a day's journey and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil which he said he'd do to them, and he did not do it. Did God forgive Nineveh? Can God forgive America? Absolutely. But not if it doesn't return from its ways. And I know we're living in the last days and we got these things to contend with, but God did great things for them. And think about this. Did God save us in the American Revolution? Do you know that General Washington was hemmed in? He was trapped on Long Island. And General Howe, with 32,000 troops against Washington's 8,000, he was trapped. There was no way to escape on Long Island. He was hemmed in at the very corner of the island. And he couldn't get away. The British troops were sailing up the East River to surround him. But it just so happened at that moment, for 3 days, there was a raging northeasterly storm which kept the British ships from getting up into the East River. And then just as Washington begins to evacuate in the night, the winds began to calm down and allowed for a southeast, southwest favorable wind for him to be pushed across the river, evacuating 8,000 troops. And then it turned out there was a family that lived near there, and they saw Washington escaping. They were friends of the British, and they ran over to tell General Howe about it, but they ran into Hessian troops, which are Germans, maybe Lutherans, right? They didn't speak English, and these guys couldn't get to the British troops to deliver their message until the next morning, and when they gave it and when they were interviewed by the British officer, they ran over there, and indeed the camp was deserted. And then it just so happened, too, that a dense fog settled down over so that the British couldn't see what the Americans were doing, and they slipped away. You couldn't see 20 feet, said one of the soldiers. And off they went, and just as the British were coming, the last boats were off into the water, and Washington on the last of them, and he disappeared into the fog, and they escaped. If any one of those things were not as they were, weather-wise or anything else, we'd be a British colony. Not that that would be such a bad thing, but was God working to help America? It certainly would seem so in that case. And David said, it may be that the Lord will look upon my affliction, and that the Lord will repay me good for this cursing of me this day, even when he'd done wrong. Maybe God might show mercy. So that's for America. Repent and believe and seek the Lord. That's the answer, not economics or other things. But then we might say this. What is our position as Americans, as Christians in America? What do we need to do? I know that you pray for America. I know that you do, right? Well, God says this to us in Jeremiah. If you turn there in Jeremiah 27, his people were in exile. He says, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to the exiles, whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, and seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile, and pray for the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. What's our job as Christians? Are we citizens of this world? Yes, we are, but we're really citizens of heaven. God says, you're in exile here. I want you to pray for your city. I want you to pray for the place where you live. I want you to pray for America, because in its welfare, you're going to find your own welfare. And maybe, just maybe, the rest of the nation should give thanks to the Christians for preserving America through our prayers. And as it says, when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham and God and Jesus were talking, and Abraham says, will you destroy the city if you find 50 righteous people there? Jesus says, no, if I find 50 there, I'll not destroy it. I'll save it for all. The whole place for the sake of the 50, or for 45, or for 30, or for 20, or for 10, or even if there was one righteous person there. I'm adding a little there, but if there was but one righteous, God would spare the whole place for their sake. Maybe instead of dismissing people from high school football teams because they bow their knee to Jesus, maybe they should honor them for doing that because they're preserving the nation, people who do that God's wrath might be stemmed and the tide may be kept back. And if people will humble themselves, there could be a great future for America. But what God calls us to do is to pray, to vote, to be involved in these things. But when it comes to our hope, we're to entrust our souls to a faithful Creator. Because ultimately, we are Americans, but we're ultimately citizens of a better country. Amen? Peter says, set your hope fully upon the grace that's coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not a hope on America, which is important too, but to set our hope on the better country. This is what's said of all the saints. It says, they were exiles and strangers on the earth. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Are you getting upset today because of the America and what's going on with it? God says, don't be alarmed. We're living in the last days, right? You're citizens of a better country. You have a great hope and you have a great king, and the government is upon his shoulder. A little child, to us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. He'll increase his kingdom in righteousness and peace forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Is that a comfort for you when you look at America and what's going on? A better country. You're just passing through here. You're just an exile. You're a stranger here. And let me just tell you a little bit about this country. How about its military? Do we have any military problems with our Lord Jesus? He comes on a white horse. In righteousness, he judges and makes war. Behind him is an army of angels on white horses to defend the right and the cause of what is true. Is there any illegal immigration in our Lord's kingdom? Let me read to you. You've heard a lot about Trump saying, I will build a wall, right? And it's going to be glorious because they're going to call it the Trump Wall. And it's going to be beautiful because it's going to have Trump's name on it, right? I think that's pretty interesting and entertaining, and you know, I like the idea of a wall. But anyway, listen to what God's kingdom says. Jesus, it says in Revelation 20, let me just look at it here. Revelation, it says, the city Jerusalem. I saw it coming down from heaven. Its glory, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and on the gates the 12 names of the sons of Israel were inscribed. And it talks about the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every jewel. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. Is there any economic trouble in our Lord's kingdom? A city of gold, transparent as glass, streets like every precious jewel, a wall. When Jesus says he comes in all his glory, and there's the marriage feast, someone comes in. If someone's not wearing a wedding garment, if someone doesn't have a passport, if you will, by faith and baptism into Jesus Christ, that person is removed. That person is sent back to the former kingdom. There is no illegal immigration into heaven. But you know what? The gates are open today. And I want to ask you right now, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been baptized into him? The Bible says that Jesus died for our sins to make of us a kingdom, to wash us of our sins, to give us eternal life as a gift of his grace, and he will never cast out anybody who comes to him, but he will raise him up at the last day. That's the kingdom that I'm looking for. And God tells you today, first to America, repent and come and seek my face, because worse things will befall you. As the devil would say, you ain't seen nothing yet, when it comes to what we're watching in the news. But if you'll repent, I'll turn and heal your land. And as for the Christians in America, God says to you, you're doing a good job. Keep praying. Keep getting on your knees. Vote. Participate. Be good citizens. But don't set your hope on America. Because ultimately, all the kingdoms of the world are going to fail. They're going to pass away one day and fade. But my kingdom is forever. Set your hope on Jesus Christ. And let that be your joy. No matter what happens in this earth, for here you are strangers and exiles, but you're seeking a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called your God, for he has prepared for you a city, and all in Jesus Christ. Amen.